Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. We're always working to bring you guests that have interesting topics and want to broaden our horizons with McHenry County and the area. We're broadcasting from 101.5 FM, WHRULP, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And today we're welcoming a guest from Hoofed Animals, Cynthia Glensgaard. And Cynthia, welcome to Around Town.
Well, thank you for having us.
So, where would you like to start? You've been around for a long, long time. So let's go ahead and start from there with the very beginning of Hoofed Animals.
Yeah, so the organization, the Hoofed Animal Humane Society, was founded in 1971 by six citizens who were concerned about the lack of humane care and support for large animals, primarily horses. And so we are now in our 51st year, and we are located in Woodstock, Illinois, off of McConnell Road and 47. And we have 34 acres, five barns, an education center where we hold programs for all different types of events, and that's about it.
That's a lot of upkeep with all those buildings and barns. That's quite a bit.
It is, and you need that for, you'll have horses or animals that have varying needs. You know, some horses can be on grass, some horses can't be on grass. Some horses will get along well together and some horses won't. So varying needs. So you need a lot of acreage, as well as the animals need that to support their health and their movement and their digestive systems and all that.
So I take it you get a phone call from local neighbors or police or somebody that tells you, hey, there's an animal problem here? Or how does that work? How are you notified?
Yeah. So we receive phone calls from concerned citizens, or could be somebody that's, going out to do some work and just driving down the road and sees something. And what we do is we sort through those calls, because some of our calls are truly from a concerned citizen with a good heart that says, oh, I saw a horse standing in mud, or I saw a horse laying down in a pasture. And well, no horse, we want a horse to stand in mud for a long time. The fact is they're outside animals and it rains and we do get mud. Sure. and horses do need to lay down to sleep and stuff. So we sort through the calls as they come in and find the ones that really need to be investigated. You know, sometimes it's an older horse in a field, and you do tend to see more of a bone structure on an older horse. So we need to go out and investigate those things. So then we'll go out, we'll send an investigator, and our investigators are licensed by the Department of Agriculture through the state of Illinois, and that we go out and we send an investigator out there to follow up on something and see if it needs to be addressed, and then we work with those owners.
Do you find that working with those owners sometimes is a difficult situation where they don't want your investigator there?
Yes, we tend to almost always walk into a situation where, it's like, what are you doing here? And sure. And that's okay. Who wouldn't? Like when somebody rings your doorbell, you walk into, what are you doing here? So, we just let people know when we greet them that, hi, we're here to follow up and just make sure everything is good with these animals. You know, we received a call from somebody who had a question and wanted to make sure that everything is good. So we go down that path, and oftentimes, people are like, oh yeah, come on in, let's take a look at it. And maybe they can't see that a horse has shelter somewhere because it's hidden behind a tree. So oftentimes we are readily welcomed in, and we do learn that, oh, this is an older horse, or it's being treated by a vet for something. And sometimes we learn oftentimes that an owner just may not have the knowledge in terms of the appropriate care for an animal. And so then we work with that owner to make sure they understand the care needs of that animal. And sometimes we find people who really don't care about the animal.
Sure.
And in that case, we work with local animal control and law enforcement to make sure that those animals are receiving proper care. And if we can turn the situation around and leave them there, then that's absolutely fantastic. And if not, then we can take the steps to impound the animal, and at that point we bring the animal back to our facility and provide the rehabilitation, retraining, that type of stuff, and then hopefully adopt them out to, you know, a loving forever home.
Well, being around as long as you have, 51 years, you must have a mission statement, I would imagine.
We do.
Okay, let us have it.
So our mission is to promote the humane treatment of hoofed animals through education, legislation, intervention, if necessary, which intervention would be impoundment, and then adopt them out to loving and forever homes.
So tell me about the Humane Care for Animals Act in Illinois.
Fantastic. We actually were, in 1973, we were part of the driving force behind getting that legislation called the Humane Cares for Animals Act passed. And so through the Illinois Department of Agriculture, this act gives HAAS the legal authority to investigate claims of abuse and neglect and then intervene when the owners don't comply with the notice to remedy the situation. And that act is actually the legislative model by which other states now draft their Humane Cares for Animals Act.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That really is. And how about for examples of education?
So one of our newest programs that we're really excited about is called our Saturday Seminar Series. And we reach out to subject matter experts. They could be local veterinarians, farriers. They could be somewhere located all throughout the U.S., for example, you know, poison control or something like that. And we have a webinar meeting in which the presenter presents information, and then the participants at the end can ask questions. And we record that, and then we post that to our website and YouTube so that people can refer back to it or new people can be exposed to that information.
So someone comes up and says, I heard about this organization, but how do you get to see them? I mean, do you have tours or how do you open it to the public?
Yeah. We are open to the public. We do ask for, you know, if you're coming in to look at an animal or something like that, for the time to be scheduled so that we can make sure that, you know, we can give you the adequate time that you need to get to know the animals. But then we also hold farm tours, typically the third Saturday of the month, where we invite people in and we give guided tours of the farm and the animals. And we do a lot of community engagement events. For example, we have one coming up this weekend called Tackapalooza, where we've invited vendors to come in and sell their tack. And that could be just, you know, your average person who, you know, there's never too many horses. You can never have too many.
And where will that event be held?
That'll be held at our facility in Woodstock on McConnell Road. And it's this Sunday from 9 to 3.
So when you have these open sessions for people to tour the plant, tour the farm, everyone gets all dressed up, right? You get everyone, you know, neat and clean and ready to go, correct?
Well, depending on the weather, we say wear your mud boots or wear some comfortable walking shoes. So, no, it's casual and it's fun. And you walk down the lanes and we talk about the horses and we answer questions about, you know, what does this animal need? Or always a highlight is our little potbelly pigs in the back, you know, that we have. And, you know, we allow people to interact and, you know, feed the pigs and toss some tomatoes.
So this event you're having this coming weekend, is that where people are going to purchase things or make donations, or how does that work?
Well, people can purchase things. We always have a tack store in there. We accept donated items from individuals, and we resell those to help fund our mission. We sell those in our local store there on the property, tack store, or we also sell those on eBay, and vendors will be selling. And then they, once they go through the tour of the farm, you know, hopefully people will also make donations once they learn about, you know, everything that goes into taking care of the animals.
Sure. Do you get many donations from folks in the area?
We do. And what's really interesting is, right, that, you know, especially as our area is growing, you know, we have a lot of new people in the area. And so the opportunity to come on a show like this is so fantastic because we can get the word out that we're there, because I run into people all the time, even that live just a couple of streets away from the farm, that don't know we're there. So getting the word out is good. And we do get a lot of local support once people realize we're there. And we also have actually quite a bit of national support. Being around for 51 years, her reach has grown, so that's good.
Well, that's great. So how do you, when the kids come out with their parents, uh-huh. So how do you work with them to keep them interested while they're there and they don't get bored and walk away?
Yeah, so like I say, we lead the guided tours through the farm, so we have somebody there to make sure that, you know, somebody isn't going into a field or
sure.
something like that.
Sure.
But typically, the kids are so enthralled in the animals that we have not seen anything like that, where they're, you know, distracted and not interested. They all can't wait to get out there. We love the opportunity to reach that younger generation, and those are the people who are the future. So it's a fantastic opportunity on all fronts.
And I see you do some work on the eBay store too.
We do. We accept donations of items, and a lot of people will bring, you know, their horse tack in to donate. And sometimes people bring in home items. I mean, people have dropped off a really nice rug and that type of stuff. And so for those types of items, we may not have somebody coming into our tack store once a month to shop, but we will also list those items on eBay. And every little bit helps us raise the funds that we need to care for the animals and to do our work to prevent the abuse and neglect.
So the next big question that everyone's having trouble with right now is volunteers.
Yes. And we are right there in that same boat with them. We did lose a lot of our volunteers during COVID, and I'm happy to say that we're rebuilding that network now. And what we have is we have a online video presentation that you watch to just learn about barn safety and animal safety and how the Haas farm works. And it's about 15 to 20 minutes, and then you answer a couple of questions just so we know that you really did watch the video, and you know you're not supposed to, you know, walk up behind a horse and that kinds of stuff to keep
sure.
everybody, you know, horses and volunteers
sure.
safe. And our volunteer activities range from everything from working with the animals, you know, helping us clean up after them, clean the water buckets. We do have a hands-on program called Hooves and Hands after a certain amount of time, and after an evaluation period of watching a volunteer with an animal, they could do some grooming and that kind of stuff. But we also need volunteers to help us sort files, send thank you letters, garden. We're actually starting a little, we'd love to get a gardening group in to help us grow the fruits and vegetables that our potbelly pigs need to eat. And we have some volunteers right now who are tilling up that land and trying to get some plants growing. We do everything from individual opportunities to group opportunities, where we have in corporate teams for like a volunteer day. For example, we have a group coming in a few weeks that's about 40 people, and we organize that.
Well, we want to just remind everybody you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. If you want more information, go to huntleyradio.com and click on Contact Us. And everything will be there. It's very, very easy. We are talking to Cynthia from the Hooved Animal Society. Cynthia, the volunteers you're talking about, I have a question for you. So who drives the front loader and picks up the manure?
That is our facility manager.
Okay.
And we have lots of it. But we really could use a new front loader if anybody's out there listening.
You know, out of curiosity, what is the amount of feed that you need per month or per week for all these animals?
So that varies based on the number of animals that we currently have on property. It also varies depending on the horse's diet and what they need. It depends on the size of the animal. So there are a lot of factors that go into that. It's not one set amount. But it's considerable.
Do you get most of your hay for the horses locally?
We do. We do. Yeah. Yep, we do.
So when you talk about volunteer opportunities, you know, there's different events and things like that, but can you go into the types that you have, whether it be corporate or team building or whatever?
Yeah, so like I said, we do corporate events. We also do 4-H groups, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts. Like if you have an Eagle project or something, maybe you want to come help us build a shelter or repair a barn or something like that. We are starting a new program called Animal Ambassadors, and we're looking for people that want to be a part of an event where they would help us fundraise or think tank ideas and that type of stuff. So we're really flexible and open. We just recently worked with a classroom of kids where we did a Zoom session with them, and we told them about the farm and the animals and what they needed. And then they, as a class, raised money. They helped us buy like our postage stamps that we need in the office, and they helped us buy cat litter because we have barn cats, and they gave us a Farm and Fleet card for us to buy that horse food that you talked about. And like right now I'm working with another teacher, and their kids are writing their persuasive paragraphs. They're working on their writing skills by picking an animal and writing why is this animal good to adopt and their story about it. And we're going to feature that on our social media channels and that type of stuff. So just because you may not see a program out there that we've already done in the past, I'd like to encourage people to approach us with their idea. I'm very open to it. There's the more we work together, the greater change and the greater good we have, sure, and we'll do in the world. So,
I'm sure a lot of people are wondering too, if you get an animal that has a visual bone structure that needs help, needs to be brought back from the status that it's in right now, how long does that take, and how do you handle your veterinary cost?
Yeah. So everything that we have, all of our funds are from donations. We receive no federal or state grants. Everything is from individuals, either individual donations or grants or endowments, that type of stuff. And all of that goes towards helping pay for our veterinary and our feed and that type of stuff. So we work with local veterinarians and have some on our board as well. And so the veterinarian will tell us what type of program that horse needs to be on to rehabilitate that. So if an animal is extremely thin, which we do often get those, they need to go on a refeed regimen, which is several small meals, you know, 5 to 6 times a day. So that's a very intensive thing.
To kind of bring them back.
Right, because you can't just give them a lot of food. That would actually have the opposite effect of what you would want.
So I'm going to ask you a question that would pertain to Jim, my engineer, myself, that you've got, if you're 16 years old, you have to have a parent with you, right? But if you're 16 to 18, you don't need anyone with you other than parent permission. So Jim and I would qualify for that, then.
That's right.
Okay.
So, and I'm glad you brought that up.
What are the types of volunteers and volunteer opportunities are there out there?
Yeah, so like I said, we can. Somebody could come in and help us clean the tack, like for our tack event this weekend, and help get it organized. Or maybe they help us garden. Maybe they help us do some office work. Maybe they help us pick up our stalls and our pastures and scrub our water buckets and organize our medical supplies. So there's all different kinds of opportunities out there. Just we like to sit and talk with the volunteer and find out where is their interest. And then we'll try and put them on that path and work with it. And we've had volunteers that maybe they prefer to work outside, but then something happens and they want to come work inside. So just because you do one thing one time doesn't mean that's what you're committed to for life. And we understand that not everybody can make a long-term commitment, and things change in people's lives. And so just because you can donate, you know, 4 hours this week, sure, doesn't mean you have to do that forever. And every four-hour increment is greatly appreciated.
And I'm sure you want to highlight your Animal Ambassador program.
Yes. So that's the program that I was mentioning about, where we have people think tank fundraiser ideas for us and help participate in that fundraising program. Because like I said, we don't receive any federal or government grants. So everything we have and can do is limited by the amount of donations that we receive. So we need people actively out there doing that and also actively out there sharing the education. So maybe we have somebody who's a teacher and they want to put together a program that focuses on, you know, horse care or something
sure,
like that. So
sure.
We're open to all kinds of new ideas, but we're looking for somebody who wants to step in and take part in the organization.
So you told me you have a favorite program, and the program is called Adopt a Hoof?
Yes. I love the Adopt a Hoof program because not everybody can, you know, has the space or the time to or the financial like capabilities to care for a large animal like a horse, but they care about the mission and they care about animals and they want to get involved. And so what the Adopt a Hoof program allows a sponsor to do is they pick an animal and they provide a monthly donation that helps us provide for that care for the animal. And it helps us with our budgeting and to know where to allocate funds, right? if we know that we have this animal taken care of, then we can focus on something else. And then those Adopt-a-Hoof sponsors, they get little photos of their horses and holiday cards they sent Valentine's cards.
Those are little teasers, you're saying. They get teasers. Okay.
Yeah. And so we keep them up to date on their animals.
And how do you determine what that amount would be that they donate? I mean, is it a fixed amount or do you suggest an amount?
We suggest $25 a month. And that helps us just know budgeting-wise a little bit about how we can allocate whatever donations we get in. And anything above and beyond that is great. And if it's $10 a month, that's okay. We may not be able to provide the staffing and the support to do all of the photos and that type of stuff for less than that. So kind of we find that at that $25 mark for the additional amount that we have in office staff and that type of stuff to keep track of the records and stuff, it tends to be a nice, and just for budgeting, it tends to be a nice amount.
Well, as we get near the end of our show here, you've got one more item you wanted to talk about called Love Has No Boundaries.
Yes. So, and how that pertains is to specifically our Adopt-a-Hoof program. Like I said, we are very active in our local community, and we are lucky to also have a national network of donors out there. And right now, during that Adopt-a-Hoof program, we have about 10 states in the United States covered. That means sponsors who have picked an animal and help us care for that animal by providing that monthly Adopt-a-Hoof support. And we would love to get a Adopt-a-Hoof sponsor in every state and I just think that would just be so phenomenal to show the reach and the care for animals. And I think that would go a lot towards helping strengthen animal cruelty and welfare laws in all the states if we can show that, hey, this is something that your state should pay attention to, because we see people from your states supporting those types of things. And then we want to do some type of really fun program for the animals once we hit that mark where we have somebody from each state. So we're at 10 states now. We'd love to have our animals, you know, to show that all 50 states, somebody in all 50 states have virtually adopted an animal, and we'll do some kind of fun party for the animals.
So how are you getting that message out to these states?
So we do a printed magazine, and that goes out. And then we also have a website, and then we're active on social media. We are on Facebook and Instagram.
And what is your website, Cynthia?
Our website is haas.org, so HAHS.org, so abbreviated for Hooved Animal Humane Society.
And if they wanted to contact you, what number would that be?
Well, the best way to contact us is actually through the website, or you can call in and leave a message. Because we run with a very small staff so that all of our funds can be directed towards the animals and the education and mission, we don't have anybody that's purely dedicated to the office and answering because we need to be out taking care of the animals. So we have the voicemails left, and then that way we can get them to the correct person that can effectively answer that person's message.
What would that number be to leave a voicemail message?
Our phone number is 815-337-5563. That's 815-337-5563.
Well, that's great, and we really appreciate all the time you spent with us, Cynthia, today from Hoofed Animal Society, and we wish you all the luck in the world. We're going to be ending our show for today, and we want to thank everybody for listening to our show today and paying attention to what Cynthia mentioned to you about the Hoofed Animal Society and the help that they need. You've been listening to HuntleyRadio.com, the radio station that's here in Huntley, your downtown area, at 101.5 FM. WHRULP, thank you and have a great day.